Welcome everyone to Soul Centered. Soul Centered is a spiritual center for anyone seeking meaning, purpose, and healing in the afternoon of life. My name is Ariella Halevi, and I'm here with my husband, Baruch Halevi. We are the co-founders of Soul Centered, and we provide healing and guidance services to anyone seeking to make that shift from self-centered to soul-centered during midlife and beyond. So we're excited to have you here today, and Baruch is going to introduce the topic.
So, welcome. We are still building our podcast, and I'm very excited that you've joined us. And if you enjoy this podcast, we'd love for you to share this with others, because we're on a mission. And the mission is to transform oi to joy. Oi is the Yiddish word. I can't think of a better word to describe suffering, struggling. And these two little letters is really feels like a lot of times the world around us today, where there's so much oi, there's so much struggle, there's so much suffering, political and environmental and economic and medical and all kinds of reasons to say oi, but we believe deeply our mission in life is to transform that oi into joy.
Absolutely, and I think right now what we should do is really talk about why we have such a hard time cultivating that joy. Right? I think number one thing is that, especially now, if you think of the time that we're in, COVID, political, our earth is burning, there are so many BLM, there's so many reasons why we should feel despair and fear and feel like we're not going to get through this. So it's almost as if we often feel guilty for feeling joy.
It's true. So many clients start apologizing. I become the priest taking confession at the time where somebody says, you know, I know people are struggling economically, but I personally am succeeding in business and I feel bad about that. Or another person recently said, you know, they know a friend of a friend who died of COVID and they are doing really well physically and so many blessings, and she just felt bad about it. And I understand where that's coming from. It's coming from a place of wanting to empathize and be compassionate in other people's suffering. But our feeling suffering doesn't mitigate their suffering. Our feeling joy and what that can do to us and how that can inspire us to then go give joy does mitigate their suffering.
Exactly. I think that when we are pulled down by others' suffering, which of course we should feel sad and empathetic towards everyone losses, everyone's loss and everyone's fear. And we've all had our own losses and our own destructions during the last 6-7 months. So it's not to say that when you feel joy, you have so many things going for you and you feel like life is perfect. We all have stuff that has happened. But it's the difference between letting the anxiety of the world bring us down or choosing joy and allowing it to grow, like you said. Like, the more joy that we choose to feel, the more that we can help that person in need, unless we choose to go down the hole with them or with others.
Well, I've officiated at probably 500 funerals, and oftentimes I see the same thing where, you know, you go to a shiva, the house of mourning, or at the funeral, the reception afterwards, and you hear people kind of laughing and joking, and they feel bad about it. You know, but maybe they're talking about the person who lived, and you're telling a joke about how that person lives and the humor. And I can always see this feeling of from them, is that okay? Can I be laughing right now because my friend died? And I would say it's not only okay, it's actually beautiful. And I get this from my teacher, Dr. Viktor Frankl, who a Holocaust survivor, Man's Search for Meaning, father of love, therapist. He says in his book multiple times, here's a quote from his book, during the Holocaust, the attempt to develop a sense of humor and to see things in a humorous light is some kind of trick learned while mastering the art of living. Yet it is possible to practice the art of living even in a present situation. Although suffering is from the present, it's possible. It's good, because it humans worlds where I in many ways we can stand and defy darkness.
So I remember, it reminds me of my mom passed away a little over two years ago. And my sister and I were at her house going through 48 years of stuff.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff there.
And it felt so overwhelming and sad and devastating that whole life.
It was her and also my stepdad that both passed away in such a short time together.
And we just sat there in such despair. How do you move on from this incredible sadness of losing a parent?
And while we felt such despair, we had such moments of laughing and joy.
When we went through all of our stuff and we found memories and we laughed the way mom used to do things.
And we found a lot of our old things that we'd seen in a long time.
And so that was really an opportunity to find joy in the grief and despair.
You said fun, and that's not direct joy, because that's what you felt.
It wasn't fun, it wasn't happy, I don't think it's a distinction between happy and joy.
Can you feel happy after your mother died?
Probably.
Can you feel joy?
In fact, it's your obligation to feel, because it's the flip side of that darkness.
If you loved somebody, they were part of your life, then flip side of losing them is carrying them with you.
What do you carry? It's not joy.
I think it's really hard to naturally cultivate that joy.
When you think about losing a loved one, or even thinking about what we're all going through in this world today.
How do we wake up every day and cultivate that joy?
I really believe that it's not happiness, it's about joy. And joy comes from the inside out.
So we have to cultivate it. It's a practice. It's a choice to choose joy.
Even when your mother dies, even when there's COVID, even when you're in the Holocaust.
Strengthen it, not even especially.
Right. You know, not finding joy in the sorrow in spite of the suffering.
You find it because of it.
I wrote this book, as you know.
I read it.
Spark Seeker's Morning with Meaning and Living with Light.
And it's just the Kabbalistic idea that in the darkness, there are always sparks of possibility, purpose, meaning. And our job, all of us, is to become spark seekers. Not in spite of, but because of the darkness.
It's very true. I also think it is a practice that we have to practice. Just like you would practice if you wanted to go and build muscles and lose weight.
Are you saying something?
I'm just looking at you. I'm just kidding. Let's say that you want to lose weight or you want to build muscles. No, you do not. You would go to the gym or you would start working out or you would start walking or you would start jogging and you would build those muscles. That's a practice. You're not going to wake up one day and be lighter or more in shape or more healthy if you're doing the same thing every day and not practicing getting in shape. So it's the same thing with joy. There needs to be a practice. If you're going to choose joy, then it's more than just saying, okay, I choose joy. Now it's a practice of joy. And how do we practice that joy? It's the same thing as going to the gym. It's cultivating a practice, an awareness to open our eyes to more joy.
And if you use that analogy, it's not like you get up and you run a marathon. You start by running to the first light pole that you see. And then the next day, the second light pole. And you start breaking it down and you build it that way. But it's also such an important point you make, because one of the things I hear all the time is, again, taking confession, because I'm...
That's because you're a rabbi.
Because I'm a rabbi, people just like seem to confess. And they'll say to me, you know, I'm spiritual but not religious. And I'll say, well me too. That's really how I define myself these days. And I'll say to them, well, what do you do spiritually? Well, nothing. I mean, I'm just spiritual. Well, what does that mean? Right? And what you're saying is true with joy, too. I practice joy. I feel joy. But what do you do? What do you do that's joyous? How do you cultivate that? How do you strengthen it? How do you integrate it into your life?
I think what you're saying is, yes, like any spiritual, any practice of anything you do needs cultivation. If you have a child, like our child takes karate. You know, he's always been kind of a natural, like he likes to wrestle, he likes all that. But suddenly he's got skills. Why? Because he's going to karate class, because he's committed and he goes, you know, even when he whines, he goes because he's tired, but he goes anyway. And so that is the same with us. If you're going to remember that you have joy within you and cultivate that joy, then you have to put on different glasses. So I always tell this to people, like when we talk about creating a spiritual practice or joyful practice, what color glasses are you wearing? Because if you're wearing the same glasses that society and social media and the news are telling you to wear, then you're only going to see the physical and the destruction and what's physically in front of you. If you put on different color glasses, then you're going to see the world as spiritual. You know, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, which we always say, but it is so true. But that doesn't just come on one day unless you have some kind of near-death experience. It's a cultivated awareness. It's every day putting on those glasses.
So two things I think we should talk about. One is cultivating the negative space, and I'll explain that. And two is the energy vibration level of joy and darkness. Okay, but first we're going to start with mine, and then we'll go to Ariella's topic because this is her mastery. So the negative space, right? When you look at a picture or when you listen to music, sometimes it's about the pause in between the notes that is as important in making music than the notes themselves. Sometimes it's what's not in the picture that's also important, what's behind it. And thinking about joy, for instance, turning off the television news. I was talking to somebody who they said the television news is always on in the background.
Right.
And what I heard was, there's no negative space. Not negative as negative, positive. Negative is in quiet, empty, right? To support the joy. So turn down the negative noise, turn down the negative influences as a way to cultivate joy. You don't even always have to do anything joyous. Just turn off the news as a starting point.
Yes, I think that and also what you talk about is raising your consciousness, right? It's about... Okay, so if you're going to turn off the news and create that space, then what are you going to bring into your life that raises the consciousness of who you are?
Totally. But let's not, I don't want to leave that point quickly because I think it's an important point of, let's come back to your analogy of working out. Before you go work out, maybe stop eating some of the donuts. Maybe start, you know, getting rid of some of the negative habits, as opposed to making this high bar of, I don't feel joy. Okay, well, let's start eliminating some of these things that are keeping you from getting there. And now that segues into what you're talking about, which is now you've eliminated so much of this baggage that you're carrying with you. At least you're starting from a neutral point to build on that.
And I think once you clear the space, you have the awareness or the opening to see, well, what in your life brings you joy? You know, what little things? So I think joy is a funny word because often joy, there's so many expectations when you say the word, you know, joy, finding joy. It feels like it should be so big. You know, that, let's say that trip to Italy, well, that was joyous because that was amazing and the food and the sights. So what we're talking about with joy is the mundane, the small pieces, the everyday joy. Every single day we have a dog. Every day we walk that dog. 3 times a day we walk that dog. He's a spoiled dog. And there's been a few times I remember last week when I thought, I just can't keep doing this. I have other things to do. I need to get through it. And instead, I cultivated joy inside of the mundane. So it's clearing the space of the negative, and it's bringing about more of the positive into your life, the things you already do to bring out more of the joy. So it brings me great joy to watch my dog tear through the hills that we have near our house. That's a small thing, but it happens every single day, and it always brings me joy. And I didn't remember that it did until I put different colored glasses on to see the world in a joyous way.
So I'm hearing a kind of a formula, like takeaway formulas. One is eliminate that which is an obstacle to joy. It isn't an act of doing joy. It's making space for joy, going through your day and choosing to eliminate so many things. Eliminate having conversations with people about things that you know bring you angst, and you know the conversation is just basically emotional cutting. Right now, for a lot of people, that's politics. right? It just brings them suffering. And they're talking to the echo chamber. I don't care what party you're in. They're talking to each other, or they're arguing to make converts. And you know what I say to them is, if it's going to effectuate change and move you towards that joy, then keep doing it. But if it's not, then just start eliminating some of those things. And then that's step one. Step two is get to an even kind of ground and make choices. What can you choose to fill that negative space? And then three are adding joyous things into your life. Walking the dog for you, not for me.
That's very rude. He loves you.
I love him too. Walking the dog doesn't bring me joy. I like it.
I know. So I would say, to kind of sum this up, the most important thing, if you think about those important qualities of joy, is to invite spirit, divine, God, source, love into everything that we do. Because we all have to do the laundry, and we all have to walk the dog, and we all have to get the kids ready for school every day, right? Mm-hmm. Some of those things in your life are fixed things, and you don't want them to change. You know, we don't want to not... Well, sometimes I don't want to get the kids ready for school, but those are part of our everyday life. It's part of building a family. It's part of being in a family. So we can look at it as just a physical thing. I got to get the kids up again. It's the mundane. Yeah. Or we can fill the spaces of our life, the mundane, with the divine. How do you do that? Consciously. And we're being human beings. We have to consciously invite the divine into the mundane, and to invite the divine into the spaces in our lives that hurt.
And I would add, that's kind of seeing the mundane, the details, the daily doings as a pathway to joy. Viktor Frankl also talks about humor and joy as actually being self-transcendent. In that moment, we're moving beyond ourself, out into this thing called joy. You know, we think of it as just coming from us. But what if this thing, joy and love and some of these others, are actually transcendent? They're from beyond or above. It's the spiritual. What if, and this is Viktor Frankl's idea, what if when you're in joy, you're actually in what he calls the noetic, the spiritual? What if joy is a spiritual practice? What if being in joy is an actual form of worship, of divinity? We don't even think in those terms. Mm-hmm. But then in that moment, you have now transcended the noise and the darkness and the heaviness and the sadness, and you're in this place of connection.
I also think that joy is not only a spiritual practice, but it's an emotional it's on the lines of vulnerability. Right? Brené Brown talks about the idea that joy is the most vulnerable emotion that we can feel and express. Why? Because of this, you know, coming from full circle, because that's the way we started. When you express joy, either you're going to feel like, oh, if I express this, what if something bad happens? Or if I express this, what if I make somebody feel bad? Mm. So practicing joy is a spiritual practice, and it's also an emotional awareness practice. In that, getting comfortable with seeing the good in life, even when there is suffering, even in your suffering, it's an emotional vulnerability to really say that although I'm crying, I'm still laughing full of joy because I see the sparks of light inside of that dark.
Yeah, and I'll end with, on my side, in doing that, you're taking back your power.
Right.
Right? Because that's what's happening in the world around us right now, is that so many people, myself included, feel like we're powerless without a voice, that the issues are so big, right? The forest fires and the economy and blah, blah, blah. And what am I, little Baruch Halevi, what am I going to do about it? And then I start feeling powerless. And you watch the news, you feel powerless. You have social media, powerless. But this is a stance, Frankl calls it the defiant power of the human spirit, to make your stand and say, I will not be reactive. I will be responsive, and I will respond by choosing a different path. And this is a path of light, not of darkness, and of joy, not of sorrow. And so with that, we hope that this podcast brings you a little bit of joy in your time of maybe oi, and we would love to continue to offer you opportunities to find joy. You want to tell them about some of the ways they can
find
joy?
Exactly. So you can follow us on mysoulcenter.org. We would love to stay connected with you. You can also like our podcast and send it to your friends. We would love to create a supportive healing and guiding community for those in the afternoon of life that are going through transitions and trials in their lives. So we can't do this alone. We have to do it together. So you can head on over to our website and sign up for our email list. Follow us on social media at My Soul Centered, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And we will see you next time, and we hope you have a beautiful day. Namaste, everyone.
Shalom, peace.